Living Hope Assembly of God.
And if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Several weeks ago, I felt God impress on my heart to talk about discipline. He placed the word discipline in my mind. Like it came across the screen of my mind, like discipline. And he began to deal with my heart about that very thing. And so I went and I started researching and praying and trusting God to give me a word. And I felt like he gave me a word, and it came from Hebrews chapter 12. And it really lines up with the word discipline. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to try to get you out of here fast this morning. So I have 5 pages of notes, maybe 6. So if you pray really hard, we'll be out of here in about.
So
we're not going to say, because I don't want to lie in church. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and your hearts give up. Verse 4. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed while striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons. My son, do not despise the discipline from the Lord, nor grow weary when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives. Endure discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? If you are without discipline, of which everyone has partaken, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers, and they corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed disciplined us for a short time according to their own judgment, but he does so for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no discipline seems to be joyful at the time, but grievous. Yet afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness in those who have been trained by it. Let's go to God and pray. Father, this morning I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would be glorified, Lord Jesus. I pray that this word would not fall short, but that it will go forth and serve the purpose for which you have sent it. God, anoint my mouth, God. Hide me behind your cross so that no flesh will glory in your presence. Speak to your people, and may we leave this house empowered in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at this book, no one knows the true author of the book of Hebrews. For me personally, somewhat it seems to have the tone of Paul, but I don't know. Many scholars, theologians believe that it was Apollos. Regardless of who wrote this great book, this thorough letter, the early church fathers saw it fit to put it and make it as the canon of Scripture, part of the canon of Scripture. And today we have it. For our edification, we have it as a directive to lead us to Jesus, because the entirety of, as we learned last week, of the book of Hebrews is primarily about Jesus, his priesthood, who he was. He was greater than the prophets. He was greater than the priest. He was greater than the angels. Why? Because he is God. Amen. Amen. So we understand that this morning, and we want to go there. And as I was writing this message, I wrote another message while I was writing this message. So I'm going to pick that message up next week, and I'm going to try to jail all of this together. And I know that, you know, many preachers and pastors and evangelists and different people have preached this text, but you cannot exhaust the word of God. Amen. Why? Because it is alive. Amen. It's powerful. It's going to mean something for your life today. It's going to mean something to your life and for your life next week, next month, until you see him face to face. Amen. Most of the time when I think about the word discipline, I equate it with rebuke or correction, if you will, mostly rebuke when I think about the word discipline. When we think of the word discipline, most of the time we're like, whoa, man, somebody's being punished. This is a bad thing. But discipline can also be positive. It could have positive implications. It could be used for training and guiding, giving instructions to an individual. And when we look at discipline today from that frame, I want you to apply it to your life. And today I want you to understand that discipline is not a bad thing. Discipline can be a bad thing if it's in the hands of the wrong person. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Growing up in a single parent home, my mom firmly believed that if she spared the rod, she spoiled the child. I want to let you know my mom didn't fail. She didn't spare the rod. She whipped my backside when she thought it was necessary. And now we live in a day and time where spanking or punishing or disciplining someone is a bad thing. I really don't care what any psychologist or anybody has to say about it. Hindsight is 20/20. I am so glad that my mom had to do what she had to do. She didn't get this example from some far-fetched idea in the world. She got this model from scripture. Amen. And I know that some people have used and abused discipline. Don't get me wrong. I know there's a proper way of doing anything. Amen. I know that we can't just go around beating our kids. We can't do that. I can preach another sermon about that. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him early. Did you grab that? If when we love our children, we discipline them while they are young, so that when they are old, listen, I know that's, you know, train them up in the way that they should go. Discipline, another word for discipline is train. Train them up in the way that they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. I know that we teach it like, but when a person goes out into the world and they start making stupid decisions, that the word of God is going to come back to their mind and they're going to be like, man, I got to make a better decision for my life. But I can remember a time when I disobeyed my mom and I was out in the world doing stupid stuff and disobeyed my mom. Guess what came to my mind? She's going to wear my bottom out. Do you hear me? In the same way? The same way the word of God is effective in that way as well. Amen. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts going and it cuts coming back. But we're talking about discipline this morning. Why did the Proverbs say discipline him early? I want to give you a few reasons. So that they will not grow up and be fools in society. Do you hear me? I've seen parents who fail to discipline their child in some kind of way. Man, I mean, I have rowdy kids at times. I have a son. He's rowdy at times. It's hard to get him to be still. What if I just allowed him to continue down that road? And I never set an example for him. I never disciplined him. You want to know why our prisons are filled up with people today? In part due because we fail to discipline the way that we should. And there's a proper way of discipline, people. We're going to keep saying that. I'm not going to let you leave here and go out into the world and say, boy, that pastor believe in beating and abusing. That's not the case. Discipline. He said that discipline him early so that he will have a fighting chance to be productive in life. That's why we discipline. Discipline done right brings about self-control in the life of the individual. It corrects, it makes straight the crooked things of those who are taught by it. How many of you know that we come in this world born in sin and shaped in iniquity from our mother's womb? And it is going to be discipline that's going to set our lives in order. We have to be disciplined. Anyone who's ever been a part of the military or had family members that are in the military or have been in the military, I have family members, boy, before they had gone to the military, they were your kind of disembobulated kind of people. They were everywhere all over, and then all of a sudden they went to the military. They were together. Do you hear me? Why is that? Because discipline is a key factor in any branch of the service. And if we want to be soldiers, ambassadors for Christ, we got to allow him to discipline us. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 5 and 6, my son, do not despise the discipline from the Lord, nor grow weary when you are rebuked by him. I have a family member in Chicago, and the mom testifies that when she would have to whip her son, and the father would whip him, and he would have a whip with a belt in one hand and a pistol in the other. This is a true story. Guess where he's at now, that boy? He's dead. Because gangs killed him in the city streets of Chicago. He would fight his parents when they tried to discipline him. He would fight his dad as if he was a stranger in the street trying to take his life. I got cousin after cousin, relative after relative, who party and do that even with their children. And they expect their children to grow up and be productive people in society. Parents, we got to watch what we do and say in front of our children. We got to watch how and what we allow our children to do and to get away with. Because the very thing that they do in front of you in small amounts, they're going to do out in front of strangers in large amounts. If they feel they have that freedom at home, 9 times out of 10, they're going to feel that they have that freedom when they go out into the world. And that's why we have to discipline and train our children. But we also don't have to only discipline and train our children. We have to discipline ourselves. And we're going to talk about that today. Amen. Verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 12. We read verse 5. Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Why does he do it? Because he loves us and scourges every son whom he receives. Man, scourging sounds like it hurts. Jesus was scourged, from my understanding. Man, that sounds like, I don't know. To me, it sounds like he disciplines and scourges. Two different things. I think I'd rather take the discipline side of things. What I need for you to understand this morning is that God disciplines us because he loves us. God has a perfect plan for your life. He knows the ending before the beginning. Do not despise the discipline of the Lord. Do you hear me? Amen. Let's receive it. Let's expect it. I'd rather for someone to tell me, Charles, listen, you look really silly going out with that booger in your nose and you're going to speak in a public setting. Do you hear me? I would rather for someone to correct me now than to be corrected out in public where I could be a public disgrace. Amen. As a child, there were places that my mom would allow my sisters to go that she wouldn't allow me to go. There were things that my mom allowed my sisters to participate in that she wouldn't allow me to participate in. As an adult, a husband and a father, I look back over my life and I realize that mom wasn't being mean and trying to spoil my fun. No, she did it because she loved me. I need for you to understand this morning the reason why mom didn't do it, because mom watched me around the house. And she watched the poor decisions I made around the house. She saw how mean I could be to my little sister and my big sister. She saw how disobedient I could be around the house. Why would she allow me to go out in public and I can't even contain myself in my own home? Maybe the reason God has not allowed you to walk in the destiny, your destiny, is because he knows that you're not ready. This morning, for a thought, we're going to talk about disciplined for destiny. Disciplined for destiny. If you're going to go to your destiny, if you're going to go to where God is trying to take you to, you got to be disciplined. How can God give you what he's trying to give you and you're not responsible enough to handle it? In psychology class, in one of my classes, we had a book where they talked about the funnel concept in raising children. The funnel starts out very small on one end and gradually gets big, right? Everybody knows what a funnel is. The child who is responsible enough with his or her duties, the funnel gets bigger. They're giving more freedoms. They're giving more responsibility. But the child who is not responsible stays at the narrow side of the funnel. In the same way I feel it is with God. Why would God, who is the one who entrusts us with the kingdom to do a job for him, why would he allow us to do bigger things when we cannot handle the small things? Why would he allow us to do bigger things? Good morning, I'm preaching this morning. I want to say something. Why would God allow you to be over anybody else when you can't control your own self? Why would God allow us to teach an anger management class and we struggle greatly with anger? Am I knocking on the door this morning? I want to preach us to a place of being empowered. I don't want to leave us where we're at. I want to let you know that every one of us in this house, we have struggles and we need to find the discipline of God in our lives. If you don't have discipline, you're going to destroy yourself. That kid destroyed his life. That man destroyed his life. The kids in inner cities who are on drugs and gangbanging, there's no discipline. The little girl who's living in upscale America who has it all and got it all and have all the new gadgets and have all the new things, but she's promiscuous. The reason why she's so promiscuous is because she doesn't have any discipline in her life. And the discipline comes where? The discipline comes from the Holy Spirit, of course. Listening to the voice of God. His discipline is not going to destroy you, but it is going to develop you. Write that down. Will somebody write that down? His discipline is not going to destroy you, but it is going to develop you. His discipline will not destroy the things, his discipline will destroy the things that don't belong. But it does you better. It perfects you. It makes you more like him along this journey from discipline to destiny. Learn not to despise the discipline of the Lord, but embrace the discipline of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 says, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. Verse 4. By which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these things you might become partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. For this reason, make every effort to add virtue to your faith, and to your virtue, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control. In other words, add discipline to your life. In order to achieve what he said before, these are the necessary ingredients for you to be successful. And one of those things is self-control, of which a lot of us don't have. For me, personally, I love cashews. The problem is I love cashews late at night. And last night, my wife had a container of cashews, and I ate myself happy. Yeah, self-control. We need self-control. We need to discipline ourselves. Just because it looks good, it may not be good for you. Just because it tastes good, it may not be edible. I remember my grandmother years ago. I was about 3 years old, and I can remember it very, very vividly. She had a plant in her house, and she said, "Big Red," and that was my nickname, "leave that plant alone. Don't put that plant in your mouth." And I can remember one day she walked out of the room and I bit that plant. And I don't know what kind of plant that was, but it burned like fire. Some of us, because we're not disciplined, life keeps burning us. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We need to learn to be disciplined by God. Self-control. And to your self-control, patience. Patience, endurance. And to your patience, endurance, godliness. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things reside in you and abound, they assure that you will neither be useless for nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the one who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted. Amen. What did he say? The one who lacks these things, they are what? Blind and short-sighted, because he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Listen, the only way you're going to remember that you are cleansed from your former sins is to focus on God and to receive his discipline in your life and to be disciplined in your life. Peter lists the positive character traits that a Christian must develop in order to be spiritually victorious, effective, and productive in serving God. One of the main reasons that many of us cannot overcome and become victorious is because we have not disciplined ourselves enough to the point of setting our focus on the things that really matters in life. Out of God's love for Israel, he allowed them to wander in a wilderness 40 years. Hello? 40 years in a wilderness. I want to let you know something about humanity. At the end of the day, we're all the same. We're not much different from the children of Israel. We tend to think we got it together. We want to act like we got it together. But at the end of the day, inside of us, we're a broken mess without God. For 40 years, they wandered. And God disciplined them over and over again before he allowed them. A whole generation had to die off before they were allowed to go into the promised land. Maybe the reason God is not allowing some of us to walk into our destiny is because there's some stuff that needs to die in our lives first. What is it that needs to die inside of you in order for you to go to that place God is trying to take you to? In order to get to your destiny, maybe God is trying to kill some things off inside of you. There is the fleshly tendencies that need to be corrected first in most of our lives. Amen? Before he allows us to walk in the fullness of what he has for us. In Galatians 5:24, Paul says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In one translation, it says that those who belong to Christ takes the flesh and its passion and its desires, and they nail it to the cross. What are you doing with your sinful desires? Crucifying something means to nail it to the cross, to mortify it, to treat it with as being something cruel. You want to just let it get nasty with it. The Bible says that Lot, it vexed him to see the wickedness in Sodom. I'm afraid that we live in a day and time where many of us, we have become so worldly that we don't even know what wickedness looked like anymore. Wickedness is not necessarily someone taking a hatchet and killing another person, or a gun and killing another person. Wickedness is not someone harming children all the time. Wickedness is sin that is set up in our hearts. And it causes us to sin against God. Whatever that may be, that is wickedness. And we need to eradicate that thing. And one way to eradicate those things out of our lives is to discipline ourselves by following the leading of the Holy Spirit and allowing God to discipline us. We are to treat the flesh like an enemy that desires to kill us and to kill off everything that represents good in our lives. Being disciplined for destiny means that you must be intentional and diligent in your training. Are you getting this morning? I'm going to read that again. Being disciplined for destiny means that you must be intentional and diligent in your training. You must be intentional and diligent in your training. A person who wants to get in shape, you got to do the things that are necessary to get in shape. You're not going to get in shape off wishful thinking. and continuing to eat the unnecessary brownies. Especially when Deacon Ken makes those brownies, man, I'm not too disciplined. You want to be disciplined, guys, listen. You want what God has for you? You want to be what God has called you to be? Start waking up early in the morning and going before God and placing your day before Him. Start fasting and seeking His face. Start reading God's word and watch what happens to your life and in your life. I promise you, if you go before God like a person who is disciplined should go before God, I promise you, God will begin to answer, your life will begin to change, and things will begin to look up. You will become more powerful and more aware of the things of the Spirit. You will be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You will be able to cast out demons. You will be able to do all the things that God's word says we can do. You want to know what's going on in our world today and in our church, why there's so many weak and anemic churches? It's because there is a failure to be disciplined. It's failing to train will cause you to become spiritually lazy and irresponsible and tacky. And this is how many of us live our lives on a daily basis. A failure to be disciplined will not only hinder your progress spiritually, but it can cause you to be disqualified altogether. Yes. 1 Corinthians 9, 26 through 27. You can't misinterpret this one. This is the Apostle Paul. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. Someone who's disciplined, they have an aim, they have a focus. What did the author of Hebrews say? Where did he say our focus should be? On who? On the Lord. So your object in the kingdom of God is to please who? I talked with someone earlier about that. When we do that, you can't go wrong. You know why there are so many hurt people in churches? It's because our focus is in the wrong place. I would be probably casket ready if I was focused on pleasing people. My focus is on pleasing God. And in pleasing God, you automatically do what's right by God's people. It's quiet in here. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified. The Apostle Paul is giving an illustration of someone who gives himself a black eye, but spiritually, every time the flesh acts up, boom, 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 you beat it into subjection. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes. That was pretty graphic, wasn't it? Yes. But that's the point he was trying to convey. When the flesh begins to be more powerful than it should be in your life, you begin to beat it into subjection. You begin to discipline it. Paul is reinforcing the idea that if we fail to exercise self-control, self-discipline, self-denial, we run the risk of rejecting God and God rejecting us. Being disqualified gives an idea of failing the test or being rejected. He uses this same terminology in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves, seeing whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? When you put those two together, if we consistently walk in sin and not allow the Holy Spirit to do what He's trying to do in our lives, God is saying, okay, I'm going to step out of the way. And I'm going to let you do it by yourself. How many ever have had an opportunity to do it by yourself? I don't know about you. I love Jesus enough that after I feel him not helping me anymore, I run like the prodigal son back to my daddy. Paul is not referring only to the loss of the reward in the ministry, but he recognizes the possibility that he may fail altogether to receive the prize of eternal salvation. You hear what I'm saying? When I think about discipline, I think about Mike Tyson. How many of you remember Mike Tyson, the boxer? He was one of the greatest boxers ever to enter the sport of boxing. His punches were brutal. His stare was intimidating. He chased his opponents around in a ring like a lion would chase its wounded prey. However, there came a time in Tyson's career where he stopped training like he should, and it resulted in a lack of focus, care, and stamina to win more fights. Because of his inability to be disciplined, his behavior became bizarre and strange to those around him. He wasn't any longer a boxer that was feared, but he became a boxer that was a joke to all who followed the sport. In one instance, he bit off the ear of one of his opponents and then he turned and laughed at his own behavior. Wonder when we're not disciplined, you know, I wonder what the world looks at when they see us, when we're not disciplined the way that we should. You know, talking to people who don't know God, this is one of the things they say. Why would I go over there and you're not any different than those out here? Yes. I know we're not perfect. I know too many preachers have preached that it's about grace. It's not about works. I understand that. Don't get me wrong. But I promise you, my son at some point better look like me. My daughters at some point better look like me. My children at some point better have some characteristics that look like me. Amen? And not like the milkman. The world. The author of Hebrews says to his listeners in verse 1 through 3, therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is it in your life that you need to lay aside? I'm preaching to the church, amen? What is it in your life that you need to lay aside? The writer of Hebrews make it clear that in this race, we will need to disrobe ourselves from the very things that would hinder us from completing the race that God has called us to. He makes it clear that the very things that we deem as normal and appropriate are the very things that will entangle us to the point where we trip over it and fail to complete the race as a victorious follower of Jesus. Those that encompass us are the faithful that fought the fight and continue to live faithfully for God, even the most troublesome times of their lives. When I think of being entangled with something, I think of a ball of yarn. Are you there with me? Now picture yourself in the center of that ball of yarn. Can you imagine the difficulty of trying to free yourself from its grip? Now picture yourself being entangled in sin. You by yourself, can you imagine being in the center of a sinful lifestyle and trying to untangle yourself? That's why the Bible says that when the devil, the demon goes out of a man, it searches in dry and arid places, and when it returns, it brings seven more wicked than itself, and it's harder for that individual who was once free to be free again. You find people who walked away from God, and they stay years and years and years out in the world. The grip, the yarn of sin entangles them with a strong grip. Am I making sense this morning? There are two things that we must take off, and that's the weight and the sin. Sin will grip you and hinder you from being successful and victorious. The author gives a vivid illustration of a runner who is in a race, and in order to win this race, he or she must strip off all the unnecessary clothes that would weigh them down. It was very important, and it is very important for a runner to have on less and the most lightest clothes as possible, so that it will not hold them down. It gives you an image of Paul standing in an auditorium and watching the people run, and he's seeing the dress attire of the day, and they would have long flowing robes on and sashes and things that would flap around. Paul said, in other words, you have to take all of the unnecessary things off so that you could run the race that is before you. The same is true in the natural as well as the spirit. If we're going to be victorious, we must learn to lighten the load. The flesh, the human heart, is occupied with cares and difficulties. And the more we think of them, the more we are burdened by them. Amen? Man, there are some things that I lay in bed all night long and worry about if I'm not careful. Things that I can't change. Some of those things you can't do anything about, so you might as well just commit it to prayer and say, God, okay, I've had enough. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of this entangling me. It's holding me down from being and doing what you have called me to do and who you have called me to be. I'm not going to hold on to it any longer. I'm going to let go of the weight. I'm going to let go of the sin, the very things that is hindering me from being effective in your kingdom. Why don't we go ahead and free ourselves this morning? The heart is enticed by the object of its desires. It does not free itself from them. The conflict is with the heart. The heart loves the things we strive to overcome. Your heart loves those things. It loves those things that we need to let go of. We do not separate ourselves from it in thought and in action. If we're going to walk in victory, if we're going to travel the road of discipline, being disciplined for destiny, we must learn to free ourselves or flee from the very appearance of anything that is evil. This great cloud of witnesses are made up of all the faithful who had struggles. They had hang-ups, disappointments in life. They were great, but they were great examples for us to follow. But they were not our primary, and is not our primary focus. They set the stage. They did great. They ran well. But our focus should not be on them. Can I tell you this morning that your focus should not be on me? Your focus should be on Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, I need for you to see God in me, and that's who you need to follow. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The past exemplified failed at times. They made human errors. They disappointed others and themselves at times. But the author of Hebrews gives us another example in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. Let us look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I ask you this morning, where's your focus? What are you looking at? Every time we take our focus off him, we make bad decisions. We fall into bad habits. We find ourselves doing bad things. We need to figure out why we need to discipline ourselves. For one, we discipline ourselves because we want to be right with God. We want to be effective. Another reason we discipline ourselves is because people are watching. The world is watching us. Listen, there are some people that they desire hope. They're looking for hope. They've looked in a lot of places, and they have not found it. Next week, we're going to talk about Abraham, how he was disciplined for destiny. Abraham wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes. The writer of Hebrews says in 11 through 12, he tells his listeners, now, no discipline seems to be joyful at the time, but grievous. Yet afterwards, it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness in those who have been trained by it. In verse 12, it says, therefore, lift up your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. God does not expect us to find his discipline as being pleasant at the moment. If his discipline was pleasant, it would not produce the fruit that he's looking for in our lives. But afterwards, after we are broken, after we are crushed, the only way a seed can produce a fruit, unless it is placed in the ground and it dies, that's the only way it can produce fruit. Unless we die to ourselves, unless we discipline ourselves, we can never be truly productive in the kingdom of God. We can never be effective in the way that God desires for us to be. And today, God desires for us to discipline ourselves and receive correction from him and allow him to do a work in our lives. God knows that you are not perfect, so stop trying to live like you are. Under a bunch of rules and regulations, but allow the Spirit of God to perfect those things in your life. Our example can pertain to the world if we discipline ourselves. Our example of courage and faithfulness to God should bring strength and healing to the spiritually weak and feeble world instead of discouragement. When the world sees us, they should want what we have. We're all weak and feeble at times, but when our focus is on Jesus, we begin to be strengthened, amen? When our focus is in the right place. He doesn't need us, but we need him, amen? Father, may you be glorified in this house, God. God, may we walk out this life disciplined by your Holy Spirit. God, may we get to the place of being victorious, our destiny in you. May we overcome every obstacle, every struggle, every hindrance by fixing our eyes on you. Father, I pray that you would go with your people from this place and that we will walk in the fullness of your Spirit. May every chain stay at the altar or the place where we prayed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Living Hope Assembly of God.